That further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Pastor Greg Richter from the Grace Lutheran Church in St. Paul, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
How are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, sir.
You're still that tinty in your hair, Greg?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's good to be with you folks again. I trust some of you at least probably watched the Academy Awards. Wasn't that the Academy Awards last night? My wife always has us watch that. So we're mindful that more Minnesotans have made their mark in the world. And that's what all of us do. Let's pray about that. Great God, we can watch shows like that which was on the television last night and be impressed by fame and fortune and the influence that people have. But may these people remember that what they do here touches lives in a much more direct and often powerful way. That we, the people of Minnesota, entrust them with our faith as well as our hopes for what this state has and what it does to take care of its people. So while we may be proud of the Cohen brothers or Miss Cody, we are equally, God, affected by and proud of these people. Please give them good judgment, good hearts, a good conscience. May they work together with one another for the betterment of all. Thank you for the work they do. Bless them in that charge. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yep.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Next order of business is ex officio communications are printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller. Senator Pogemiller, you want to adopt those, but I believe there's one on the addendum that we'll also take up.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the reports of committees, including the one on the addendum.
Okay, on the motion. There are several? Apparently there are more than there's several on the addendum.
Including all of those
on
the addendum.
Yeah, that was my fault. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda and the addendum. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills that include the addendum. Second reading. Next order of business is Motions and resolutions. These are author's motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. To these authors. Senator Rummel, did you have... You have two bills you want to return to the author. Are these your bills, Senator Rummel?
Mr. President, yes, they are.
Okay.
I'm trying to update
both at once or no?
Myself on which ones they are.
Okay, Senator Rummel moves that Senate File 2391 be withdrawn from the Committee on Ag and Veterans and returned to the author. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. And then Senator Rummel moves that Senate File 2419 be withdrawn from the Committee on Ag and Veterans and returned to the author. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog, did you want to move a bill around today, Senate File 2806?
Mr. President, this bill needs to move from state and local government to industry and jobs. Both chairmen approve of this.
Okay, on the Saxhog motion. Discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wergen, did you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate File 2887 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. This is being done at the request of the chairs of the two committees.
Okay, on the Wergen motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a couple of resolutions on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Betzel, do you have a motion to make?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 624 on general orders be stricken and be referred to the Committee on Finance. This was just reported today after it left Judiciary Committee. We determined that there was a fee issue that probably needs to be reviewed by the Finance Committee.
On the Betzel motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Where do we go now?
Mr. President, why don't we get the bill introductions and then revert to general orders?
Remaining on motions, we'll go to the Senate bill introductions. There are a couple of changes. Senate File 3003 will be referred to the Ag Committee. That's on page 1. And on page 4, Senate File 3032, Senator Dill's bill, will be referred to the State and Local Government Operations Oversight. And on page 15, Senate File 3141 will be referred to the State and Local Government Operations Committee. And also on page 15, Senate File 3149 will be referred to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills.
Mr. President,
Senator Porcamiller.
I'd move that we revert to general orders to take up just one bill. It has some timeliness. It's number 2 on general orders. So I move the committee do now resolve itself into committee of the whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The only bill under consideration on the Senate general orders for today will be number 2, Senate File 2564. Senator Berglund.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2564 be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund, discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I have an A1 amendment.
Okay, you want to put the amendment on before the discussion on the bill, is that correct? Uh, Senator Berglund moves the A1 amendment. Do you want to describe the amendment?
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate File 2564 as follows, page 1, line 10. This is Amendment A-1.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this bill deals with TANF, and it will give the Department of Human Services the authority.
All right, wait a second. Let's take your discussions in the back room or somewhere else. Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I was saying, the bill will give the Department of Human Services the ability to claim other states' spending as maintenance of effort. By providing a greater maintenance of effort, we can get relief from having to have as high a work participation rate. The bill is designed not only to deal with this year, but to deal with previous years as well, because the rule just was changed by the federal government. We have not had an opportunity until now to give the department this authority. The amendment changes numbers in the bill to make it technically correct, and then it allows the department to claim other qualified expenditures besides the working family credit, both for past years and for future years. So I would stand ready for any questions on the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the Berglund A1 amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, then Senate File 2564 also, in addition to helping us meet our work participation rate, will mean that there will be greater expenditures out of the TANF account and a lower expenditure out of the general fund, which at this particular juncture of having a budget deficit is good news for the general fund. We expect in fiscal year 09 that reduction to the general fund will be $8,834,000. In fiscal year 10, it'll be $11,779,000, and in fiscal year 11, it'll be $2,945,000. The reason that it goes down in fiscal year 11 is because we expect at that time that we will be meeting or nearly meeting our work participation rate due to the changes that were made in law last year, creating the family investment program and creating the work participation bonuses. I'm ready for any questions anyone has on the bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 2564 as amended. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And would Senator Berglund yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. I'm not familiar with this area of law, so I just wanted to ask some basic questions. Is there any type of financial consideration? Does this save us money or does this cost the state money?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, it costs us money in the TANF account and it saves us money in the general fund. It also will potentially reduce our penalties in terms of increased maintenance of effort and the potential penalties for losing federal funding through the TANF block grant.
Thank you.
A further discussion on Senate File 2564. Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion that Senate File 2564 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller, did you want to arise?
Mr. President, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion by Senator Pogemiller, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
President, I think, is there any other work at the desk?
That completes the work at the desk. I believe we be on announcements of Senate interest. Members,
if I could, before announcements, the plan today is to recess to the call of the chair, and there's a potential for a message to be coming from the House, the transportation bill. And so I think we'll just have to kind of play it a little bit by ear here this afternoon. We will try to do it in a way that does not upset committee meetings. And as I understand it, Senator Metzen's committee is the only one meeting from 12:30 to 3. No? Okay, there's several committees. So we will try to allow those committees to finish their business by 2:30 and see where we're at. And I think we'll hold the Rules Committee, which will be very brief, but we'll hold that until we adjourn later this afternoon. Unless we are going on and on and on, then we might call the Rules Committee earlier. But that should be a very brief meeting, the Rules Committee. So on that, I would hold for announcements. Okay.
There's one announcement from Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee will start promptly at 12:30 today because we have Northwest Airlines with us for a hearty discussion.
Senator Prettner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to remind the body that tonight is Duluth and St. Louis County Days at the Capitol, and we will be meeting in the Armory from 5 to 8 o'clock. I invite everybody to come down, have a good time, to experience the businesses and services and some of the good food from Duluth. Look forward to seeing all of you there. Thank you.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, a point of personal privilege.
Pardon?
A point of personal privilege.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members.
Hey. Senator Higgins.
Probably all the members may remember Reverend Al Gallman, who has been our chaplain here at the Senate. He's the gentleman who tells us to turn to your neighbor and say, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I wanted to let you know that he preached his last sermon here in Minnesota yesterday, and he's moving back to where both he and his wife are from, Florida, a very long ways away from here. And I know that you would all like to join me in wishing him best of luck in his new phase in life. He was a wonderful addition here to our Senate family, and I know that we all thank him for the work that he did here for our state and my city.
Senator Mois.
Mr. President, I just want to ask the Ramsey County delegation members to meet me briefly in the retired room right after we recess. Ramsey County delegation members, thank you.
Okay, any further announcements? Senator, seeing none. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members of the Majority Caucus will meet in room either one, I'm sure it's either 107 or 112, right at during the recess. And I think it's fair for planning purposes, we would not come back before end of session, before 2:30 or 3. So I think members who are not on committees certainly can have lunch, take a lunch break if they want. So I would then move to recess to the call of the chair.
On the motion to recess, Senator Senjum, did you have an...
Mr. President, Senate Republicans, maybe 5-10 minutes downstairs. 112, I think, is... We use 112, I believe.
Whichever room we're not in.
Yeah, right.
We'll go, Senator Senjum, we'll go in 112. We'll do 112. And you'll be 107?
That's opposite than what it usually is, but
no,
they both work.
We'll do 107 then.
Okay. 112. We should be able to figure this one out.
This is a pretty tough one, Senator. So we're at 107, the Democrats, and the Republicans will be 112.
Right, Senator Senjum wants to be with Joe Roulette, I think.
All right, on the motion by Senator Pogemiller for recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
We remain under motions. Patty?
Senate is under call. Remaining under motions.
Mr. President, are there any messages from the House?
There's a message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform you that the House has repassed House File 2800, notwithstanding the veto of the Honorable Tim Pawlenty, Governor of the State. There is herewith transmitted to the Senate, number one, House File 2800, a bill for an act relating to transportation finance, appropriating money for transportation activities. Two, the veto message of the Governor dated February 22, 2008. And three, the enrolled copy of Chapter 152. House File 2800 with all the signatures of the officers of the Senate and the House, but minus the signature of the Governor. House File 2800 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Murphy, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move that House File 2800 be now reconsidered and repassed, the objections of the Governor notwithstanding, pursuant to Article 4, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota.
Okay, a discussion on that motion. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Today we have the opportunity with this vote on the Safe Roads and Bridges Improvement Act to change the course of Minnesota, to build a better transportation system, and to improve our economic standing. Unfortunately, we've had to resort to extraordinary procedures to accomplish this feat. But this feat is truly in our state's best interest. Overriding a governor's veto is not something that any of us takes lightly. I've said that many times in the past. But in extraordinary times, sometimes extraordinary measures are exactly what needs to happen. This legislation, the Safe Roads and Bridge Improvement Act, has been both praised and demonized. No doubt it is controversial. I appreciate the controversy around this bill, and I understand the position that this has put many of our members in. Yes, it's difficult to vote to increase taxes, but today we have an opportunity to improve the lives of everyone in the state of Minnesota. We can continue down the same path, the path that has produced these results as stated by the Minnesota State Patrol. In 2006, there were 78,745 crashes, 494 vehicle fatalities, 35,025 injuries resulting in life-changing events. The cost of that, the State Patrol said, was economic loss of $1,529,411,000. $1,500,000 in 1 year. Those are the numbers from the State Patrol. We can either pass this bill and forge a new path, or we can turn our backs. I believe that this bill will set for our state is a path that will improve highway safety. It will slow and reverse highway congestion and improve our economic outlook. Members, we've all seen this legislation before. We've all voted on it before. And now we have the opportunity to make sure that lives are protected in the state of Minnesota and that our economic forecast is brighter.
Further discussion on Senate file or House file 2800. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, good transportation is vital to a good Minnesota. To pass a bill like this means we will benefit our economy, our environment, the livability of our towns and our cities, and the fairness of how we pay for those things that we all benefit from. Senator Murphy thanked me earlier when we presented the bill first time through, and I would like to publicly thank him for all of his incredible hard work over these many years, working to bring very, very disparate interests and communities together around a very, very difficult set of compromises. This is a compromise. This is a balanced bill. This bill reaches into all corners of our state and helps us provide the kind of transportation that people in our districts are asking for. Also, thanks to all of the staff who have worked so hard for quite a while, and thanks to members, every member of this body who has provided for a very thorough debate on this subject. Members, I encourage you to vote for this bill. I think it'll be
further
a
discussion.
Huge benefit
See
to our
none.
State. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Senator Murphy, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this seems to be going pretty fast for an override, and I think probably we need to slow down a little bit. This is serious business. This is serious time. This is history. We just don't do a governor's veto lightly. I think we need to think about it, and I think we need to think about what we're doing. We all talk about working towards the middle, finding the middle, finding compromise, finding consensus. We've been through that, and frankly, it didn't happen. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. We're here today, and we're looking at this thing square in the eye, and it's power politics. It's absolutely power politics. And so now we face the veto, and now we face the question about whether we sustain or whether we override. And those are serious questions. Very serious questions. These moments don't come often. In my history here as a relatively new senator, I've never been through this before. I don't know what a veto override resolution is all about. I'm probably going to find out in about 10 minutes, but I don't know what it's about. But let's think about where we are, members, and think about what this is all about. And let's think about Thursday a little bit. Let's think about Thursday when it would appear that this state's going to be looking at a budget deficit approaching $1 billion. And yet today, somehow, we're here in this room thinking and talking about increasing taxes on the citizens of Minnesota in a fashion that's unparalleled. Largest tax increase in the history of Minnesota. That's what we're talking about here, and we're kind of thinking it's a good idea. And yes, do we need a transportation bill? Yes, no question about it. Should we have had a transportation bill that would have brought the governor, the minority party, and the majority party together? Yes, no question about it. But obviously, it's not going to happen. And I wonder a little bit as I think about what's transpired over the course of the last week and now today. I kind of wonder what the Poverty Commission would think about this. You know, the Poverty Commission's been out, and they've talked across the state of Minnesota about issues that affect people that are in need. And they have legitimate issues. There's no question about it. And so what do they think about this gas tax increase? This gas tax increase and this transportation bill that's going to affect every aspect of their life, probably in ways far more serious than it's going to affect mine. And what are those people that have been to all these health care meetings that can't afford health care, don't have insurance, can't afford it, and now we pile on and we pile on and we pile on. So, members, as you think about this vote today, as you think about overriding the governor, think about the seriousness of that action. Think about its impact on people in Minnesota that have great needs, because they're going to have great needs, and those needs are going to be ever more great and ever more squeezed as they now look face on into a tax increase that is, again, the largest tax increase in the history of Minnesota. So, members, again, think hard, think long, think seriously, think about what the right thing to do might be. Think about those citizens out there that have needs. Think about what's right for Minnesota. And what's right for Minnesota at this point is not this magnanimous transportation bill. It is something less. It is something that, again, could come together with each party, the governor, in a way that we'd have some cohesion. As it is now, we're on a collision course. And I dare say that that collision course is probably going to affect the whole rest of this session. So members, urge you to vote no on this. Urge you to think deeply about it. It's serious actions. These are serious moments. Please vote no.
Further discussion on House File 2800, Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's probably a little bit non-traditional to stand up after the minority leader. I was thinking for a second before he stood up and decided that I have to anyway. Mr. President and members of the Senate, I wasn't kidding the other day when I said people in my district are losing their houses left and right. They are. And they are in some of your districts too. Do we not care about that? Do we not care that they're already out of their homes? Members, there are a lot of people in my district that are getting laid off. One of the factories just went down to 30 hours per week in the last few days. Do we not care about that? You know, maybe, I guess if they don't have to drive to work, the gas tax isn't going to cost them much, but isn't it pitiful that at a time when they're under such economic stress, we want to stress them even more? I wasn't kidding when I said that the people from my district drive significant distances to work and that this is going to cost them a lot of money. It is. I cannot believe that we're doing this in such an economic stress time. And folks, I repeat, at the federal level, the Democrats are voting to send money back to the people to help the economy, and in Minnesota, we're taking it out of their pocket. Why? This isn't an emergency. Yes, transportation needs help. Yes, we have to do something for roads and bridges. I've never denied that. But this is an 8.5 cent gas tax increase and a 0.25 cent sales tax increase, plus, 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 plus. The list just goes on and on. And the folks in my district absolutely cannot afford this increase. And so I don't suppose I'm changing one single vote here, but maybe there's somebody in this room with a conscience that cares about the people in their districts that are losing their homes and losing their jobs and can't afford this tax increase.
Mr. President.
Senator Roebling first. Okay. Senator Vickerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, this is indeed a good-sized tax increase, and I'm going to focus just a moment on the tab fees that were cut several years back, and what that means when we raise those again and provide a disincentive for people to go out and buy new cars during a time when we want them, one, to buy more energy-efficient cars, and two, just to make purchases to help our economy, to help the people who manufacture cars, to help the people who sell cars. We need people to be continuing to buy new vehicles. But here we have a disincentive to do that in this bill. Currently, if you buy a new car, averaging $24,000, $25,000, the license fee is $323 on it. The second year, it drops to $189. The third year, it drops to $99. Under this proposal, the first year will be the same. The second year will be at $290 approximately instead of $189. And the third year will be at $261 instead of $99. Members, that's a pretty significant difference. And this will be a disincentive to people who have to every year write out these checks and send them in to get their tab sticker for their license plate. And I hope we know what we're doing here, because I am concerned that it is going to be a further drag on our economy, on our car sales, on our car manufacturers, and all of those that we depend on, plus the ones we want to go out and buy the new energy-efficient vehicles, the ones with the better safety features in, with the stabilizers, with the airbags, all of those things that new vehicles can provide. And I know Senator Murphy says we're doing this for safety, but if you're in an unsafe vehicle because you don't want to buy a new one or you can't afford all the costs of purchasing a new vehicle, you don't get those safety features either. So it's another reason to think about this. Besides the gas tax increases, the TAV fee increases are another big part of this that we need to pay attention to, and a reason to vote against overriding the governor's veto.
Senator Vickerman and Senator Day. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, this is a great day today. And I say this because Highway 60 has been suffering for 20-some years. And that, hopefully, we can find some money within this bill to do that. More people have died on Highway 60 than on the bridge that fell down. So I think we need to pass this, and I hope the Democrat or the Republicans will be with us. I'll tell you one more thing I like about this bill, the 40 new troopers. I came in on 494 yesterday afternoon, and people come right up behind me, honk their horn, flash their lights. I was going the speed limit, and they were going 10 to 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, zipping over here and zipping over there. We need those 40 troops to tell people, stay where you belong. This afternoon we worked on the green fuel, the fuel bill. If people would drive the speed limit, we wouldn't need to have all these other things. So I thank you, Senator Murphy. It's been a long time. It's been over 25 years since we've been working on it. It won't happen tomorrow, but it will happen, certainly now that we have some money put in there.
Senator Day.
Thank you, Mr. President. And democracy is a wonderful thing, and I surely am not going to stand and talk about sour grapes. The majority has ruled on this issue. But there were a few things that I would like to point out, and I have no problem about talking after the minority leader, because it happened to me about 1,000 times. So I don't feel bad about that one. Some of the things that I think people should watch, and I know the delegation from Hennepin County should and Ramsey County should notice it more than anybody. You're getting sold a bill of goods on the transit. Sold a bill of goods. We've put more money. We wonder how come our roads and bridges aren't good. We had $800 million in the light rail. Didn't help congestion. It helps people go to ball games. That's $800 million that could have went into roads and bridges. There's about 4% of the people move around in transit, and we're now out and running and talking about technology that's 100 years old and thinking that that's something that's really great, and it's going to start jamming up the quarters the other way. I know that I'm sure the unemployment will take a real quick dip because the 33,000 people are going to go get employed here in the next. Nah, everybody knows that's a bogus number by about 28,000. We talk about the lives, and we know that that is an important thing. One of the things that happened also in this bill is we, for the first time since I've been around here, we're now starting to do earmarks like they do in the federal government, which is absolutely terrible when you can start putting your own projects into bills. Absolutely. A precedent that is something that, that's just too bad that that's happening. And our tab fees are going to go up. But there is a day of reckoning, and the day of reckoning, I think, is coming very soon. And it's only a few days away, and people are going to be talking about how we're going to cut $1 billion or $1.5 billion. I hope it isn't that high, but I'm worried that it could be that high or higher. And then we're going to say we just gave you the largest tax increase in state history. So we just taxed your family, every man, woman, and child in the state of Minnesota, $125 to $150. and we're all going to be rumbling around here, and people are going to be saying, well, how's my COLA doing? How's my COLA doing on wherever I work? Or how are we going to do this? Well, you know, and my goodness, now we don't have to worry about people talking to us about property tax either, I guess. This is, where transportation was making people, property taxes go way up. We know that was bogus also. One of the things that happened in this whole issue, I think, is there was a lot of things that we've used that I hope that, you know, this all works itself out. I congratulate Senator Murphy for being very courageous and pushing it, and I think that we all have to sit back and look, but I hope that people realize that we subsidize transit $297 million in the metropolitan area, and the people that are sitting in your houses today and you're getting another tax, and we just spent $700 to $800 million on the train to nowhere that's now the entertainment train, and you're all going to buy into this, and there's going to be about 3.5% or 4% of the people that are going to be using it. Everybody else is going to be in their cars, and they're going to be paying for it all. And it's something that I hope sooner or later, and as we start telling people on Hamlin and Snelling and Larpinder and you name it all across the corridor, that they're going to have the same thing, they better go over and ride the light rail like I do every once in a while to find out how it's going to jam up that corridor. So with that, I think that we hopefully will realize what a huge, huge tax we just put on every single Minnesotan. And I will tell you what, it might feel a lot better today than it's going to feel 4 days from now when we are starting to come back into this chamber and start saying, okay, we are now going to cut 5% in all the different commissions across. We're going to do that. Or you can do this as people are losing their houses, losing their jobs, and don't have a penny to their name, and they're having all sorts of problems. You can say, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to tax. We'll tax some more. Or better yet, let's use this one. Let's tax the businesses. Although, after I read the Chamber of Commerce thing, sometimes I hope he doesn't come to me and talk to me in the next week or two, my good chamber leader. Because I can see some dire things that could be happening in that area. So with that, hey, let's get on with the vote, and we'll see how this all comes out. Thanks.
Senator Corrine.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Minnesota Senate. I'd like to kind of go into a tirade and tell you about the people of Morrison and Crow Wing County, but I don't think it's going to do any good. So I'm just going to sit down and shut up and vote no.
Senator Jungbauer.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. It never ceases to amaze me some of the things that happen
in
this
okay?
chamber.
Are you doing all right?
Yes.
All right.
I think I'm going to not have a heart attack here until I go to buy my new car and try to get new license plates or those sort of things. And I think it doesn't cease to amaze me because we always seem to escape the facts. Fact number one we escape is this is a highly regressive tax. It's very bad on the poor. Fact number two, you can't tax yourself into prosperity. And fact number three, you can't tax yourself out of a recession. Well, for those members that think it's okay, and it's kind of interesting, you look at what Washington, D.C. is doing, and that's run by Democrats, and they're saying, boy, we need to bolster the economy. We need to send you some money back so we can take care of that economy and help you guys out. And in Minnesota, we're saying, by the way, that money you're getting from the feds, we need to take that money because we need it. And yes, we need it for roads, but it just seems like total lunacy. And I did actually start writing a book, and the subtitle of that book is Standing Firm in the Face of Political Lunacy. And thank you, members that vote in favor of this, because you've added another chapter to the part of my book where I need to stand firm in the face of political lunacy.
Senator Gimsey, then Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to rise and explain a handout that I sent to all of the members here and tell them about what I saw this morning as I woke up and looked at my local newspaper. This morning when I got up, the first thing in my local newspaper, the top above the fold, was not the transportation bill, but the headline that you'll see on page 2 of the handout, Growing Signs of U.S. Recession. Job growth is faltering, consumer confidence plunging. The fallout from the worst housing slump in a quarter century growing. Wherever you look, the signs are unmistakable. The economy is in trouble. That's the first thing I read this morning. First thing before this transportation bill that we're going to vote on again today. Then I turned to page A3 of the same paper. And it says, defaults on loans. Other bills, surge in Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's economy is getting shaky. Look no further than Minnesotans' surging defaults on credit card payments and other bills. You know, these are clear indications to all of us, or should be clear indications to all of us in this chamber, that we have a huge problem. Thursday, we're going to receive more bad news. Now is not the time to take on this bill. Now is not the time to be discussing adding more burden to these credit card holders, these people who can't pay their mortgages. You know, what are we thinking here? Why can't we wait till Thursday when we see what the real news is in that forecast? Why can't we wait till Friday to discuss what our options are for dealing with a budget that is in crisis? This is not responsible governance. This is not the way people handle their own household budgets. This is not the way the county would handle their budget, or the city, or any business in the Chamber of Commerce that I know of, and any businessman that's a member would handle their business this way. They would not go out and start spending money when they knew that their sales were slumping and their revenue was going to be diminished for the upcoming future. You know, one aspect of this default on loans, it is certainly telling, is the Hennepin County part. It says in Hennepin County alone, the number of default filings surged more than 70% to just over 9,200 in 2007, the most in at least 18 years. The most in at least 18 years. Members, this is not the time. Friday may be the time for this transportation bill, but that's not going to happen. But I understand that. But, you know, today I stand beside those people who are buying their groceries on credit card, whose homes are in default, who are having trouble meeting their basic bills, the basic cost of living every day. I stand with them people today, with those people today. I stand with the man who carries the lunch pail every day and eats that bologna sandwich as he goes to work and struggles along just to be able to make it. Members, I know I'm looking up a dead horse's butt, but I'm going to ask you to say no to this.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about this. I didn't get up in the first go-around. I quite frankly didn't think it would get this far, especially in light of the fact that we have the recession going on. In November, we received our first forecast, $373 million, that we're going to have to probably at that time try and somehow pull all of our budget, biennium budget. Now it's even looking worse than that. In fact, I'm hearing people are going to be real happy if we actually end up somewhere less than $1 billion deficit. That forecast is coming out Thursday, and it's beyond my thought process. And I have to reiterate what Senator Ginsme is saying. Counties and cities would not budget this way. They would be much more responsible than what we're doing here today. If they had a chance to wait one more week, folks, we can drag our feet around here an awful lot on a lot littler things than this. If we could wait one more week to see where we're going to be, but we don't have, and we can't do that because we have to ram this through. This is the biggest tax increase in the state of Minnesota's history. Everybody should understand that we all understand, and everybody in this body knows very well that Minnesota is not tax friendly. LLCs are taxed in Minnesota. We're rated actually 44th of 50. The gas tax that everybody's talking about that we haven't raised since 1987 was 28th in the nation. That didn't seem like it was really too bad. We were okay. We also had 3 years of record spending. The past 3 years under the Governor Pawlenty and Molnow administration, record spending on the highways. You didn't hear that too often, but it's a fact. We are now, with this gas tax increase, we are going to be right around third or fourth in the nation. But that shouldn't surprise Minnesotans because we've been there before. We've been real close to number one in taxation in the country, and we're going right back there. So I ask people to think about that. I think it's going to be very, very well known as to who brought the big increase to the poor folks who are going to have to bite the bullet on Thursday. And please vote no for this bill. Thank you.
Senator Artman.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Minnesota State Senate. On my way here, I got calls from folks and ran by some people who wished me luck on my way here. They said, good luck. Good luck. Well, it's going to take more than luck, I think, for this chamber to reconsider. I think it's going to take some statesmanlike behavior and conduct on the members of the Senate to understand the enormity of what we are about to do. And it's going to take some open-mindedness and some thoughtfulness on the members of this chamber to really think about why would we move and grant this motion, approve this motion to override the governor. Because really, it's not a motion to override the governor. This is a motion to override the people of Minnesota. Please don't override the people of Minnesota by enacting taxes that they don't agree with. We know that Minnesotans don't agree with the gas tax, and they certainly don't agree with 8.5 cents. While they might agree with a moderate and affordable amount of 5 cents, they've never agreed to 8.5 cents. And more importantly, the sales tax, all the people in Minnesota that will be asked to pay that, they've not agreed. There's no referendum here. We're not asking them. We're telling them it's good for you to pay sales tax, even though you might never see any benefit. And let me just give you an example of some folks in my district out in the western areas where they are hit hard by the economy right now. Members, there are Minnesotans that are suffering because of the economy. Mr. President?
Senator Ortman?
Thank you. It's getting a little loud in the chamber.
I didn't do anything about it, but you got him quieted.
I did. Thank you.
All right, Senator Ortman.
Members, please make no mistake. There are Minnesotans that are suffering because of the economic situation that we face in the state of Minnesota. Tens of thousands of families in foreclosure. Tens of thousands of families have defaulted in lawsuits across our state because they can't make the payments on other debt. Tens of thousands of families have lost jobs in this state in the last year. Inflation is a factor. The price of food goes up daily, and what you're about to vote for would be an increase in inflation. The price of gas will add to the expenses of our families' budgets. We are causing the very problem that we'll hear about on Friday. By increasing the price of gas, your vote will contribute to inflation and the recession that is about to hit the state of Minnesota. Please wait until we get all the information. But the information that I hear is that on Friday, we'll hear that we are close to, if not at, a $1 billion deficit. Members, a $1 billion deficit in the 08-09 budget translates to $3.3 billion in 2010 and 2011. Will you please think about the long-term impacts of this gas tax increase and the sales tax increase? Think about the Minnesota families that need a car to get to work. If you can afford a car, now you're going to have to pay an increase in the gas tax, an increase in the motor vehicle excise tax, an increase in your license tab fees, and you're going to get hit when you go to the supermarket and buy school supplies for your kids. Minnesotans can't afford this. Members, please don't override Minnesotans. Please take your time, think about this,
Think about the impact. Get more information. Wait until Friday. You don't have to do this today. Members, please join me in voting no on the motion to override.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'd like to encourage a vote for the override today. There, after the 35W bridge collapse, members know there was increased scrutiny surrounding the rest of the state's infrastructure and the state's roads and bridges. And as we came to find out, there are many bridges across the state of Minnesota that also need to be replaced to ensure their safety. And one of the worst bridges, the least safe bridges in Minnesota, is the Hastings Bridge. It carries over 32,000 cars a day, and it's the most heavily traveled two-lane bridge in the state of Minnesota. It also has one of the worst sufficiency ratings of any of the trunk highway bridges. And members, and it's important that the public understand that this package that we're passing today will infuse the state of Minnesota with $660 million to replace 13 fracture critical bridges across the state of Minnesota. This package, not the governor's package, his bonding proposal that he rolled out last month, this package will give money to replace the Hastings Bridge, Mr. President, the Lafayette Bridge, which you've been such a strong advocate for, and many other bridges across the state of Minnesota that desperately need that money. So I'd encourage a vote to override the veto today. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 2800, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. What time tomorrow does this go into effect? Is it the date following enactment? And how much will the gas go up at the pump tomorrow? Senator Murphy, could you answer that?
Or the effective dates.
Mr. President, whether or not the price of gas goes up tomorrow has nothing to do with this bill, Senator Olson, but it has a lot to do with the greed and profiteering of companies like Exxon.
No, Mr. President, I believe at least part of the gas tax went in the day following enactment. If this passes today, that means tomorrow. I asked a straight question. How many cents will the gas tax go up tomorrow? 2 cents tomorrow, and then what date will they add the other three? And when does the other 3.5 come on?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, the reason why I made that comment the first time, Senator Olson, is this takes effect at the 30 days from enactment, and then on October 1st, it'll go up another 3 cents. But members, I don't know why we're worried about 5 cents, because the market is fluctuating, and according to the numbers from the petroleum industry, they've fluctuated over the past 2 months by 20 cents a gallon. And that is straight profit for the oil companies, for the OPEC nations. It doesn't go to fix roads or bridges. It goes to somebody's pocket that is already, I mean, Exxon made $4 billion of profit last quarter. I don't know where you're going with this, Senator Olson, but 5 cents doesn't do much to the price of gas.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
Mr. President, Senator Murphy, I just wanted to be sure that our citizens out there, particularly those who are counting the pennies, the penny pinchers, are given forewarned so they can at least fill up before the new tax hits.
Senator Day.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Olson, the only thing you really have to know is that we will very shortly be fourth in the nation in gas tax. And I'm trying to think of, I think it's Rhode Island, Wisconsin, and can't remember the other one.
Further discussion on House File 2800, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can tell that we're starting to draw to an end here, but I would be remiss if I did not at least acknowledge some of the comments that were made by my colleagues. Senator Gimsey asked probably the most telling question, why can't we wait? Senator Gimsey, we've waited for 20 years. 20 years. And if you read the handout that I gave from former Governor Ernie Carlson, who I had the pleasure to serve under. And, it wasn't pleasant all the time, don't get me wrong. But Governor Carlson was very fiscally prudent. But in his message, he talked about the greatest generation in the United States. And he mentioned someone in particular, and that would be Representative Bernie Leader, who is a World War II veteran, fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And what that generation did for us, that generation, Senator Gemsi, took it upon themselves to pass the GI Bill, a piece of legislation that educated more veterans, put more people to work, and improved the economic standing in our country more than any other bill, in my opinion, that's ever been passed. It was not only an educational revolution, but it was a technological revolution. It started a lot of startup businesses, and as Governor Carlson has said, we can't wait any longer for people who have the courage that was shown by those World War II era folks, our grandmas and grandpas, our moms and dads. They built the United States with blood, sweat, and tears. They sacrificed for our country. What are we willing to give up for our children and our grandchildren? No, I don't believe we can wait. Senator Roebling talks about the registration tax and what everyone's going to have to pay. Senator Roebling, if you buy a vehicle that has a base price of $15,000 and it goes on the new formula, and you own that for 10 years, like most Minnesotans, we all kind of hold on to our vehicles for quite a long time, the vast majority of people do, you will see a 10-year average increase of $7 per year. That's it, $7 a year. Right, Senator Day, you talk about kicking our gas tax into uncharted territory. I'm sorry, it was Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm sorry. Putting us in the top 10. Hardly. This is a tax incident study. I've got another one from the petroleum industry that shows that we'll still be in the bottom third. But even with an 8.5-cent gas tax increase, that would put us at number 18, clearly outside of the top 10. Now, Senator Day, you talk about transit. Here's a few things that you need to know about transit, because you always make a lot of comments about nobody's riding it. In 2007, there were 77 million transit rides in Minnesota. That was 3.4 million more than were in 2006. Every form of transit had an increase, whether it was the LRT line, our local bus routes, or our express bus routes. This is the highest transit participation that we have had in our state in two decades. With this bill, we're going to improve that upon that. Now, when people talk about, you know, Senator Day, the comment that you made about, you know, property taxes going for road projects as being bogus, we have, once again, a tax incident study that shows that we are the highest in the nation about property taxes being paid for road projects, for our local road projects. Hopefully this will turn the tide. Folks, once again, it is a difficult thing to override a governor's veto. And we had plenty of opportunity to do that during the Ventura administration. And sometimes it felt good because you knew you were doing what you felt in your heart as being the right thing. But I can tell you, it's a failure. It's a failure. It's a failure. Now, people are going to talk about, oh, well, you are unwilling to compromise. We have the vast majority of everything the governor requested in our bill. The vast majority. He wanted a tax rebate for low-income folks. We gave it to him. He wanted bonding. We put more bonding in there than he has ever offered up, and a way to pay for it. Because as the legislative auditor said, if you continue to acquire debt without a mechanism to repay it, your road infrastructure will continue to deteriorate. Now, when people talk about this administration has done more for our roads and bridges, and they continue to talk about it year in, year in, year in, this past construction cycle was the largest one ever in the state's history. Folks, that's not true. Absolutely not true. We passed a bill back in 2002 at the request of the governor. It was for $400 million of advanced construction money, federal advanced construction money. It was for $400 billion of bonding. Folks, you can only spend them once. That's $800 million of one-time spending. What we're talking about here is $660 million of spending that is into the far future. Every year, not a one-time $800 million shot. We're talking about $660 million every year from now on. This will improve the economic vitality of our state. And for the rural members, where 70% of all the fatal crashes happen, it means that we're going to save lives. Folks, let's override the governor's veto and let's go about the next day's business.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Murphy, you're a very passionate advocate for transportation, and I respect you enormously in the work that you do as the chairman of the committee. But looking at the schedule for the motor vehicle or the license tab fees, a $25,000 vehicle, I think we should be really clear about what's going to happen here, because in years 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, actually the price of the license tabs on those cars will go up significantly in those years. And so I want to make sure that the Minnesotans that are watching today understand the price on those license tabs will go up significantly in years 2, 3, 4, and through the rest of the schedule. But, Mr. President, I'm wondering if Senator Murphy will yield.
He will yield. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Murphy. I think it's been asked multiple times in this chamber. People at home are wondering. The governor's office has asked. I know it's been asked in the House. Why can't we wait for 4 days? Why can't we take this bill up in 4 days after we have more information? I understand you're a passionate advocate. I understand Senator Stevens' argument about wanting to make sure we get funding for roads and bridges, but it will help us so much to have an understanding of the economic context and the economic climate that maybe we could make some changes. And so I'm wondering, can you please just answer what can be accomplished in 4 days that we can't wait for this vote until 4 days from now and we have more information?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, it's simple, Senator Ortman. The bill is here in front of us today, and there's nothing that's going to come in those revenue estimates that are going to change this. Our road funding is constitutionally dedicated. This is not general fund money. This is not general fund money, folks. This is constitutionally dedicated streams of revenue. Now, Senator Ortman, we can either get on with the business of the day, or we can keep talking about what-ifs. And I can tell you, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, Senator Ortman. But that's not the way it goes around here. Some days you have to stand up and you have to push red for no and green for yes.
Senator Ortman, you want to talk to him?
Thank you, Mr. President. What we're asking for is that you wait to see not whether we can afford it in the general fund, because it's not part of the general fund. What we're asking is, can we wait long enough to see if Minnesotans can afford this? Can we wait long enough to see if Minnesotans can afford this? I would think that the deliberate, statesmanlike body, the upper body of our legislature, would understand that being slow and deliberate and methodical, even just for 4 days, would be in the best interests of Minnesotans. Please don't override this veto in your haste
and not care whether Minnesotans can afford it, because I fear that they can't. And all of the signs in the economy show that they can't. The least we can do is just wait for that information to find out, can Minnesotans afford this?
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really hadn't intended to get up and speak on this, but Senator Murphy's comments about the greatest generation prompted some thoughts for me. The road that I drive out to my home on Lake Vermilion, I can remember my dad telling me that during the Depression, his dad was lucky enough to get a job for the county. And he shoveled gravel into a wagon that was pulled by a horse for 50 cents an hour, $4 a day. And he was happy to have a job during the Depression. And they built a road that I drive on every day out to my home. And it reminds me what that generation put into building the infrastructure of this country. It was more than money. It was a lot of sweat, and a lot of lives were shortened because they didn't have the kind of mechanized equipment that we have today to build things like roads and buildings and other public infrastructure. And now here we are today, and I have Highway 169 in my district that many of you have driven the road up to Ely, and Congress has appropriated, I think, about $12 or $14 million to take out some very dangerous parts of that road, a region called the 13 Hills, and a couple of bad areas where it's shaded and black ice occurs and people have died. And Minnesota can't find the 20% state match to make those safety improvements in that road. And on Highway 53, a road that I drive north of Virginia up to Cook, we're working on making a piece of that four lane, another dangerous piece of road. And we've got the next leg that we have the federal money for, 20-some million dollars. And we don't have the state match, 20%. So that project is going to sit until somehow this legislature or a future governor finds a way to find the 20% match to make those public safety improvements. And many of you drive along Highway 61 up the North Shore. I hear from people here in the chamber and people outside the chamber almost every week that they were up on the North Shore this weekend and they had a great time. And we've got multiple projects along Highway 61 on the North Shore of Lake Superior that have been postponed a couple of times because we have 80% of the money, thanks to Congressman Oberstar and the Congress, but we can't seem to find the state match. And it troubles me to know that I had a grandfather who toiled out in the sunshine in the hot summer shoveling gravel into a wagon pulled by a horse to build a piece of the state's infrastructure, and we are unwilling to put up the money to even patch the holes in the road. And it's troubling. And members, this is a pretty easy green vote, I would argue. There's nothing historic about this, I don't think. This is an opportunity where the state's labor community and the state's business community have agreed. And you know, we don't get that many contentious issues around here where labor and business both agree that this is something we need to do to move the state forward. And I would be remiss if I didn't take my hat off to the State Chamber of Commerce for the courageous position they've taken on this bill. It's not often that the business community advocates for tax increases. And as the taxer, I can tell you it's very seldom that we see that. But clearly the business community in this state can see the need to rebuild the state's highway and transit infrastructure. So members, I don't think this is that hard a vote. Chamber of Commerce thinks you should do it. The AFL-CIO thinks you should do it. And I just think that, you know, most of our constituents probably don't want a tax increase, but I do think they want good roads, they want safe roads, they want less congestion here in the Twin Cities, And I don't think anybody is going to lose their election over a green vote on this bill, and I'd encourage you to vote green.
Senator Day, and then I think we're probably getting close to a vote.
Mr. President, and my good friend, the tax chairman, the old tax chairman used to invite me up for lunch up there in Lake Vermilion, and it was always pretty good roads on my way up there. The new tax chairman hasn't invited me up there yet, but we'll get around to that maybe this summer. In fact, you know, he mentioned a couple things that are kind of interesting. One of them is how we don't match the money in our transportation bill. The reason we don't match the money is because earmarks in the federal bill by Oberstar send the money to a road that has a car count of 2,800 people or 3,000. In southern Minnesota, we got roads with 8 and 10,000, and we couldn't get any money. And they're worrying about matching the funds. There has to be priorities by the Department of Transportation, so why would you match money when you don't have high car count? That was one of the things. And it's interesting, in this bill, we have earmarks for people in the House. I won't mention his name in the House, but I'll tell you what, once you can start voting on bills, because you get a little chunk of something in a bill is sad. We are, after 8.5%, we're going to be fourth in the nation in gas tax, Senator Murphy. Now, I don't know where you're reading, but fourth in the nation. So I don't know where we got that one from, but that's beside the point. In the bill, we have $25 for people who don't even have to own a car. We're going to send them $25. So you people that are in Minneapolis and St. Paul and this area around the seven-county area, you're going to send money. They're going to take another fourth of a percent. They're going to tax you, and they're going to send it to people and give them money, $25. If they don't own a car, don't have to worry about it. And I will tell you, if you're living up here, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over, we all weighed in on transit. We're getting duped, people. We're getting duped. We're $30 million in the hole again. We subsidized $297 million. If the ridership is so great, we should have enough money to pay for it a little bit. We could have had the finest bus system in the world for $800 million. Now we're going to do it again. Technology that's 100 years old. We're going to use a Union Station. Amtrak is going broke, for God's sake. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is just a terrible boondoggle. And as far as construction, drive around the metropolitan area or drive around your own area. The Plenty administration has done wonderful the last 3 years. 494, 694, Highway 100, down in my area, we rebuilt all of Rochester. This whole bit about we don't spend money on transportation is ludicrous. We spend a lot of money on transportation. We always have spent a good chunk of money on transportation, and we sure have in the last 4 or 5 years. So somebody to tell you, no, we don't spend any money on transportation, that's bogus. And now what we're going to do, when people are having tough times, we're going to say, you're going to go to the gas pumps, you're going to pay more, license, you name it. Fortunately, I am in Greater Minnesota. Fortunately, because I'm not going to get hit with a tax that I don't get a chance to vote on. Everybody up here, you're going to get hit with another tax that you don't get a chance to vote on. I thought everybody was pretty aggravated about the Twins. But at least in the Twins Stadium, 1 million or 2 million people come to town to watch the game to pay for the tax. It ain't a bad shake then. This one isn't anything. All you're doing is giving people that don't have cars a huge subsidy. I can tell you, and we talk about the property taxes. My goodness sakes, in Minnesota, property taxes don't even pay for schools. Our state is $35 billion. That's our budget. Wisconsin is $27 billion. They have 500,000 more people than we do. You know why? Because they have to pay for their schools locally. So when somebody comes up to you and says your property taxes, now we're going to clear up the property taxes because we put a transportation bill in. Man, alive. It's staggering the things that you can use to get a bill passed in the state of Minnesota. But I will tell you something. It won't be the special interest groups are happy today and everything is fine because they're home free. But I'll tell you what, the people that are going to face the bill for the largest tax increase ever in the state of Minnesota with what's coming in a few days, this is going to be pretty murky in the next few weeks explaining to people. Fortunately, when they call on whatever their taxes are, I say, hey, we took care of it. We put it in the transportation bill.
Senator Dill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to make two or three or four points. As most of you here know, I did support this bill. And I keep hearing about how high we're raising the taxes and how it's a record tax increase. Well, if you take the $660 million annual increase in taxes over this 10-year period and you measure that as a percent increase in our current spending, which is about, well, we're spending $34 billion a year for the biennium, or $17 billion for each year of the biennium on average, the increase comes to 3.9%. Now, that may sound like a lot to some people, but for others, a 3.9% increase in spending over 1 year and concentrating that money on transportation may not be that as big an increase as some people would like to lead you to believe. And a second point I'd like to make is that for those that are opposed to this bill, as far as the organizations, active organizations that are opposing it, I know the Republican Party and the Minnesota Taxpayer League are clearly in opposition, but I think we need to balance that against the list that Senator Murphy passed out that were supporting this legislation. And I counted 139 organizations and businesses and so forth on that list, and then after it was put out, there were some more that were added, like the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, the Minnesota Pork Producers, Minnesota Soybean Producers. I think there were 21 environmental organizations. Even the Minnesota Truckers Association is supporting this legislation. And I'm a farmer and a veterinarian. I paid particular attention to the list of agricultural organizations supporting this legislation. It was both the Farmers Union, the Farm Bureau, all the commodity groups, the pork producers, soybean producers, corn producers, potato producers, sugar beet producers, wheat producers, all the commodity groups were supporting this legislation. So for me, there's a lot of organizations out there that are supporting it, and I believe we need to do this for a whole variety of reasons. Not only do we need to reinvest in our infrastructure, but we also need to think about the death loss out there on poorly maintained and poorly designed roads. I'm from rural Minnesota, and a high percentage of the deaths occur in rural Minnesota. We can cut down that death loss by rebuilding our rural roads and making them much safer than they currently are.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I think it's probably time to about wrap this one up. And I just want to rise to say that, as we came here this year, it became immediately obvious that this was going to be tax season in Minnesota. Right off the bat, 3/8 of 1% on our sales tax. And today we're here talking about the largest tax increase in the history of Minnesota. And I would say, and I would challenge anybody, you can tell me, has anybody ever voted and passed a bill larger than $6.6 billion? I very much doubt it in this chamber, because that is one ton of money. But Mr. President and members, let's not forget, 8.5% on the gas tax, license tabs that go back to pre-Ventura. We certainly have a sales tax in the metro area, and very likely in greater Minnesota. It's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect you at the gas pump. It's going to affect at the grocery store. It's going to affect every aspect of your life. So think about this long and hard. And I would say, and I'm very proud of our Republicans today, in a way I feel like we're speaking for the little people. We're not speaking for the unions. We're not speaking for the chamber. We're speaking
for the 59% out there in Minnesota that says this is too much, this is too heavy, we ought to rethink this, don't go forward. And we're standing here today with those 59% that think this is too much. And I'm happy to do that on behalf of our caucus. So, members, let's go forward. Urge you to vote no on this veto override. We want to sustain the governor. We think that there's room within this session to put together a good transportation bill, one that we could all join hands in and walk down the aisle with. That would be our goal. I think it's doable, but this one here today, too much, too heavy. Vote no.
Senator Murphy.
thank you, Mr. President, and I believe that the that Senator St. John's right. It's time to debate, or it's time to vote. We've had plenty of spirited debate. We've exchanged concepts and ideas, but there's a few people that need to be thanked. Mr. Jim Campbell, the former CEO of Wells Fargo, helped us forge this agreement, and so did David Olson from the Chamber of Commerce. Governor Arnie Carlson helped in some of the behind-the-scenes talks. But the folks that made this happen are standing here in the back row, and nobody ever gets... They don't get their name in the paper. They don't get accolades. But it's our staff, folks. Without the people standing along the back row here, nobody's bill gets passed. And certainly where we're at today just doesn't happen. So to my staff and to the nonpartisan staff of the Minnesota Senate, thank you very much.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I didn't think I was going to say too much tonight, but the question I had was, Senator Murphy, you brought up an issue that I didn't know of before. You brought up, you said a corporate president with Wells Fargo was in on making this deal. Could you please tell me what that's about?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I do not yield.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, Senator Murphy, you're the chief author of this bill. You just got done thanking a corporate president of the largest banking industry in the state of Minnesota. I've never heard of that before in all of the discussion that we've had regarding this bill that's going to cost over $6 billion to the people of Minnesota. I want to know what Wells Fargo is doing in this bill.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, I don't know what your venom is all about. It should be directed towards getting your Highway 610 built instead of dragging through the mud the former CEO of Wells Fargo, former as in retired, a person who is concerned about the welfare of the state of Minnesota, saw that we needed help here, as did former Governor Carlson, as did the president of the Chamber of Commerce, David Olson, as did many people, Senator. I think your venom is misplaced. This is a man of unscrupulous, I'm sorry, of... Okay, maybe I should just give up. This is a man that's had a reputation of being a very scrupulous individual, Senator. You know that. And he is more than charitable to many organizations all across the state. These folks, along with members of the House, members of the Senate, are public. We have talked about transportation. These are folks that understand the issue. They know what it means to business activity. They know what it means about creating jobs. When somebody like that speaks, I think it would behoove us all to listen.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Murphy and members, I was raising a question about process. Never before had I heard a discussion of this particular individual being mentioned in any of the debate that we have had before. And for you to simply say you are not going to yield to that important question certainly is something that should have been answered. I'm glad you did answer it now. But, you know, whenever we have people of great wealth, even by your own admission, trying to influence legislation on the floor of the Senate, we should ask questions. I know you've asked questions of that before on other things that have gone on in this Senate body, and that's certainly a legitimate question to ask to see who might have the business acumen that might be following some of our decisions. When we're going to spend $6 billion on the floor, somebody might be investing in things. Somebody might be examining where our money is going. There's bond issues. There's all sorts of things going on, and we should know who our business partners that is mentioned on the Senate floor. We should know what they're, who they are and why are they so interested in leading this discussion. We need to make sure that we have a bright sunlight on what we do here.
Further discussion on House File 2800. Seeing none, Senator Murphy renews his motion that House File 2800 be now reconsidered and repassed. The objections of the governor notwithstanding, pursuant to Article 4, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota. Secretary will take the roll. Well, we don't do any. Senate is under call. Secretary will close the roll. Being 47 ayes, 20 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The motion prevailed, so the bill was repassed and its title was agreed to. The objections of the governor notwithstanding.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Is there any other work at the desk?
No work at the desk, Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, the Rules Committee will meet immediately following adjournment in room 107. Before calling for adjournment, I would stand for announcements.
Mr. President, Senate Education Committee meet in room 15 immediately following adjournment.
Senator Rast.
Mr. President, in the retiring room is the official sesquicentennial banner for legislators to sign. If you have not yet done so, I invite you to do that before you leave the chamber today.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, Rules Committee again immediately following session 107. I would move that the Senate do now adjourn till Thursday, February 28th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.